What is TWS podcast episode? Whatever. Who cares at this point?
The rants of the vindicated.
It's my podcast. And I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still live?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're gonna keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
One's ready. I feel like the end is staring at my watch, and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts. How many tries to take?
Damn, they ain't ready. Hi, so welcome to another episode. Alright, I'm explaining why
we laughing.
Welcome to another episode of What Is TWS Podcast.
On the replay.
Wax selector, wheel it back. Alright, anyway. Hey, this is like take two. Once again, I suck as an audio engineer, and I didn't record like 20 minutes of our previous conversation, so we're going to try it again. Like, we back like we never left. You know what I mean? Right, so anyway, I'm sniffling. Rich is drinking tea. Oh, hey, Rich is back. My bad. See, I said that in the last 20 minutes.
Man, listen.
Y'all didn't hear.
Shit happened.
So, y'all didn't notice. Rich is back.
I'm back, hanging on by a thread.
And then we got Thad the Millennial.
Mm-hmm.
So, that is a good name.
Thad the Millennial, yes.
Thad the Millennial.
I'm going to order a shirt.
Start doing some spoken word and shit.
Thad the Millennial. Mm-hmm. All right, but yeah, we're gonna go right into it because, like I said, we've been at this for already over a half an hour. Y'all just don't know it yet. All right, so... Man, all right. So I do want to do this again for the first time for y'all. But the last episode that I did with my wife and I, we touched on Nelson Ellis and his untimely passing recently. If you don't know who Nelson Ellis is, he is the actor that played Lafayette on True Blood. He was also in The Soloist, The Help. The
Soloist was good. Help was good.
A bunch of other movies, but you know, a lot of people know him. I think he's going to go down as Lafayette from True Blood. And True Blood was one of the shows that my wife and I really got into during our dating period. It was really a part of us getting to know each other and growing as a couple. We watched it religiously. So Lafayette passing meant something to me. I woke up this morning and then saw that his family had decided to discuss the cause of death. I think it had been previously reported as a heart failure, and as a 39-year-old, that doesn't sound like that sounds kind of weird, like a 39-year-old died of heart failure. But what his father decided to reveal to the world today was that the heart failure was caused by alcohol withdrawal, and that Nelson had issues with alcohol and drugs, had been to rehab, several times in the past. Kept it all private. It was his own personal private struggle. And this particular time, he was trying to detox on his own. And the withdrawal symptoms took his life. And, I'm not sure if people know that, like, alcohol withdrawal is a real thing. And if you are one of these, heavy drinkers, if it's something you do every day for, months at a time, heavily. Like,
you gotta be.
You can't cold turkey. You can't just cold turkey. You need to have people around you. You need to be supervised. So you need to at least let somebody know that you're doing it. So there's somebody who knows to come try to find you or check on you or something. But I've discussed my issues with alcohol on the show before, the DWI. So it definitely hit home for me. And I just want to say, I hope that this show and how honest and open I try to be can help some people, just to know don't struggle in the shadow. Like,
don't do it in vain.
Don't do it. Don't do it in you don't have to be by yourself and alone in these situations. If and it's not so much just needing help. It's just if you put it out there in the open, then people know to look, to look out for you. People know to question where you've been if they ain't heard from you in a couple of days and come find you, Like, that used to be a concern of mine, that I was like, I was such a recluse that I might die one day and don't nobody find me for, a certain amount of time because they so used to me just disappearing, you know, and nobody knew what I was doing during them times when I was disappearing.
You do disappear. Yeah. You be like, I'm gone.
It's what I do. I'm good at it.
I'm Batman.
But, but yeah, I just wanted to touch on that. Nelson Ellis, I was a big fan of his.
I don't want to come.
Here come the evil. Here come the evil. Hold on. Here come the evil.
I mean, you always tell me to take the skates off. So I just got back.
You know, just gonna walk right in.
I'm not gonna, you know, sugarcoat shit.
He's smiling.
I don't want to be an asshole.
Kicking the door. And
I don't want to make light of this situation.
But you're going to.
But. So you quit smoking cigarettes. You get a nicotine patch.
Right.
You know, heroin, crack,
methadone,
weed, whatever. It's patches for that.
It's patches for crack?
It's drugs. It's pills and stuff for all that stuff.
I know what I mean?
So what do you do for alcohol? Like, is it just take a breakfast shot? Or like, you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, I know there's like serotonin and stuff you can take to try to replace. Because at some point, it becomes a chemical dependency. Your body... Certain things in your body shut down because they don't have to provide these substances because you're getting them from outside places. So, you know, you just stop all of a sudden and you're not providing your body with that chemical. And the parts of your body that used to produce it have shut themselves down. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you might experience some, but whatever, I don't know. I don't know if there's like alcohol patch. I'm just saying, people, you need to tell somebody.
Like, I'm just saying.
If you're going cold turkey, Rich, if I'm going cold turkey, I'm going to call you like, hey, Rich. It's about to go down.
I feel like
I need you to be on fan watch.
If I quit alcohol cold turkey, I'm fairly sure I'd be okay. I'm pretty positive. Do you know how much alcohol you have to drink to experience withdrawal?
Hey, man.
Seriously, I think collectively
it ain't as much as you think. All right. Here we go. I've experienced certain symptoms. I have on at least two occasions. Like, you just stopped and gone like a year without drinking. And I'll admit, like, I have experienced certain symptoms that could be attributed to alcohol withdrawal. Like, hallucinations, you know, lucid dreams. And you can look these things up. I have lucid dreams now, though,
without drinking.
I had issues being able to tell what was real and what wasn't for a hot second. I would see like little kids in my apartment, and then like have no idea.
Is that alcohol withdrawal, or is that like time to move?
It wasn't the poltergeist, man. It wasn't the poltergeist. Unless the poltergeist got vicious ass time, and he was like, "Oh, this nigga just stopped drinking.
Let's mess with him.
Let's walk with him for a second."
So, there's a movie on Hulu right now called. I think it's called Grabbers or something like that. Aliens came down to Earth. They're abducting everybody, killing everybody, taking them all over.
I gotta see where you take this, Rick.
The way to defeat the aliens will not abduct you
if you drunk.
If your blood has been tainted by alcohol. I shit you not. As soon as I saw that shit, I added it to my queue. I'm watching that shit tonight.
I gotta watch that too, yeah. Sounds pretty good.
Hey, people, it can't be all bad.
Hey, people, Nelson Ellis died of alcohol withdrawal. That's the point we're trying to hammer home here, is that if you're dealing
So basically, if he woke up and took one more drink, he'd be here.
Folks, don't listen to Rich. That is not the point that I'm trying to make. I'm just saying, if you're going through some shit, if you're dealing with something, if you... addiction is a disease. Addiction is not...
I'm not trying to make light of the addiction. I'm just saying he didn't have to cook cold turkey. Like you said, he could have told somebody. Well,
he tried rehab.
I'm a heavy drinker. I need to quit. You know what? I'm going to tell Jared. Jared, come over. I need to quit. I can't go cold turkey, but I don't want to just by myself. I'm going to wean myself off. Day one, 5 shots. Day two, 4 shots. Day three, I might drop down to 2 shots.
Why am I picturing this like that scene from New Jack City? With Ice-T and Pookie, and you like shivering and shit, and I got the blanket. I got you, bro. I got you. It's gonna be all right.
Pookie
man.
Was fucked up.
It be calling me. But anyway, Anyway, again, people, what I'm saying is don't suffer in silence. If you're dealing with something, you know, reach out. Let the people around you know you're
for
dealing
real.
With
it. I talk about everything else, posting selfies for the gram. Do it for your life. Don't do it for the gram. Damn.
They do it for the likes. Don't know. Ain't nobody going to like. Yeah, I'm.
They ain't going to like shit if you're not here. Nah, they probably will
people
like
will
it.
Like that. They probably will like. You know how many times somebody has posted like a suicide, you know, so-and-so died as they status, and I'd be like, am I supposed to like that? Or like, what am I supposed to do?
That's why I'm so happy Facebook added the extra shit extra now. Shit,
the little reactions.
Sad faces and hearts. And
I think I've liked some my father passed. Like, I ain't know what else to do.
This is a bad segue. I don't want to segue too much because, you know, I know I segue sometimes.
Let's just do it.
Man. But
I fucked up the first episode.
Did you see the one with a girl and her best friend? I think I mentioned this before on the show. I don't know if you heard of it. Girl was with her best friend. Guy attacks her friend. And basically the girl's best friend was being raped. She pulls out her phone and, like, live streams
what?
Her friend being raped. Because she pulled it out because she was trying to take the guy's picture. But apparently she was streaming it and people were liking it. So then she just live streamed the whole entire her friend being attacked and forcibly had sex with it, everything, for the likes.
Wow.
She was sentenced to jail, too.
Yeah. But, yeah, I saw, and I think I might have posted it somewhere on What Is TWS. But I saw, like, an interview with somebody and they were talking about like how like that's an addiction, like the addiction to likes. Mm-hmm. Like we've like, you know, when you get that like, it does release a little you know, serotonin or whatever. You get that little euphoric, you know.
I saw a video on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, so I think that's a real thing now. Like people are addicted to likes. And she might have had good intentions and then that serotonin started kicking in. Mm-hmm. She's like, word, y'all like this? Let me get the close up, let me make it cinematic.
About a month ago, a guy ran his Maxima into the back of a flatbed, broke his leg, he broke his knee and his right leg, fractured his lower leg on the left side, his upper arm on the left side was broke, and I think he fractured his clavicle. He crawled out the car, fully bloody, and he's like, selfie.
For the gram.
You're laying in the street dying. And you're like, just had a car accident. Then he turned and he's like, Maxima total. And I'm like, fucking call the cops. Call the ambulance. Like, you sitting here dying.
It's the last post they'll ever.
It's all about Facebook these days.
It's not that important to me. But
one dude videotaped himself after a bear attack.
I saw that dude. The dude, he was walking through. He's like, my ear falling off. Like,
my ear is falling
360
off.
360 degrees. That was crazy.
Did you hear about the dude just recently that woke up to a bear biting his head?
What?
Hey, like, so he said he woke up to a crunching sound.
Oh, you know, I didn't see the video. I read the.
I ain't seen no video. I don't think it was.
I read the.
They say he woke up to a crunching sound, and it was the bear like biting his head, like the bear, you know, biting into his skull.
Oh,
and it was trying to pull him away, and I think he poked it in the eye, some shit.
It was on the news, ran away. And when I was driving to work yesterday morning, so the people on the radio show, they're like, and if it was me, I would have kicked that. No, the fuck you wouldn't. You would have kicked shit.
Everybody always talking.
Everybody talking about they would have ran. They would have jumped in the river. Do you know how fast an American brown bear can run?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but if the bear already has your head in exactly. his jaws.
What are you doing?
He's like, chicken bones.
Hey, that's a story. This dude is going to have. That's the Revenant type. That's some.
Mm-hmm.
That's some I came back.
I don't even know how he made it.
He got 9 staples in his skull right now.
How does it get that far to where you didn't hear the bear?
Before you wake
you
up.
You didn't feel him on you until like you were head deep into his mouth? And he got close enough to where your head could be in his mouth. Pause. Like, really? You know what I mean? Like,
you didn't smell that bear breath coming down?
Nothing.
He was sleeping hard.
And then, first of all,
that's how we know we white, because black people don't sleep that hard in the woods.
And for your head to be in his mouth, you know, upper jaw, lower jaw, it took something. So did you take an Ambien in the woods? By the time the upper jaw like grazed your cheek or whatever it was, come on, bro.
All right, I'm gonna say it. could this have been alcohol withdrawal? Could he
hallucinate?
Could he have not known where he was at the time and couldn't separate reality from fantasy? Or could he just been on a could this been a Bill Cosby episode?
You know what it was.
Episode.
I'm gonna say this. Somebody's gonna be mad.
All right, go ahead.
That's that white shit.
There you go.
Oh,
that's that. Come on. I firmly believe that some shit like that would never happen to a black man unless he was with a group of white people.
I'm going to tell you why it wouldn't happen to me.
I wouldn't have been there.
One, I wouldn't be in the woods. Two, I wouldn't be in the woods alone. That's two. I wouldn't be in the woods alone asleep.
That's was three. He not in a, you didn't have no tent, no nothing? Like, you just... sleeping bag, like what the fuck?
I don't do the woods. Like we did that. We did that the last camping trip that we did with Tom and them. That's the last camping trip I ever do in my
Let
life.
Let me tell you, we was out there for all of 24 hours, and that was a true test of survival.
Yeah.
The minute my sock got wet, I was like, I can't do it. I can't do this.
It's over.
My socks wet. My drawers wet. Too much information. I don't care.
My foot.
Fucking sitting out here surviving off of fucking goo and energy bars? No.
The first time my stomach rumbled and I realized I was going to have to go to that porta potty, I was like, nah, son, we need to drive. I need to find a Shell station.
I skipped the bathroom the whole weekend.
A Wagga bag or something.
I was like, I can't.
The minute we get hit with the EMP, we're screwed.
We're
all screwed.
Listen, I'm going to tell y'all right now. What was it? Lethal Weapon? Not Lethal Weapon, the other one. What's the other one? Die Hard. When they did the fire sale, if a real fire sale ever happens, if we lose electricity, any type of indoor plumbing, just I can't do it. the Walking Dead type shit.
Goodbye, world.
I can't. Shit. The fuck? No, I can't. I can't survive. I'm too dependent.
So you're trying to say when we pull up on your house, trying to rescue you and Renee, you're gonna be in the corner just tapping your cell phone like, why is this shit?
See, that's why I need to get my shit off the grid now. Full backup. Like, listen. Mm-hmm. And then everybody gonna be trying to come to my house. That nigga got power. Shit. I'm going over there.
You need to do you a 10 Cloverfield Lane, the underground bunker.
That dude was crazy.
Well, minus the crazy part.
But yeah.
That was almost a good movie. It was almost a good movie.
I couldn't survive. You gotta like, one, you gotta be in shape.
Mm-hmm.
Two,
that's what I'm working on.
You gotta be like a good 15 to 20% crazy. Because at that point, you have to be able to stomach some shit. Like, listen, I'm about to cut your throat and chop your head off so I can go this way. Because they're going to catch you. You got to be able to stomach some shit. That's number one. You got to be able to, like, dig in a garbage can, realize that this pizza is old, and be like, I mean, it's Domino's. Pretend that blue spot is blue cheese and shit. Huh?
I couldn't even do that Bear Grylls shit. Like, you couldn't, like, drop me in the middle of
I'm not making it.
National
park. I don't have enough.
Expect me to survive. Exactly.
That's the other thing.
Shit.
He be in regular, like, national parks. Like, he's within 10, 15 miles either way of safety sometimes.
He's somewhere you could just stand up and be like, yo, over here, over here.
How are we going to make it these 15 miles, though?
Right here, bro. Right here. I'll be the first one to be like, hey, nah, cut. Cut. The ant touched me. It's an ant on me. I can't do it no more.
Some shit like that. Tom got to be there.
Oh, man.
His fucking Boy Scout ass. You know you a Boy Scout, Tom. Bringing Tom, all of that equipment. All types of shit in the garage.
Yeah, you got stoves, all that good shit.
Matter of fact, Ali camps. He got all types of shit.
You know what? You know what I mean? I was getting ready to... Nope, I'm not going to do it. But anyway, I'm not even going to do it. All right, let's get into some topics. Let's talk about some stuff. So, I know we got to do this over again because we did it already, but...
I don't mind talking about it again, though, because this is going to be a good one. All
right. Yeah. So 444, first, you know, I gave my whole, you know, review of it about two episodes ago. Rich, you back. Let us know how you feel about that.
I like it.
Like, you got a favorite track on the joint?
You know what? I don't yet. But then again, I also haven't found the track that I dislike yet.
Not yet. Like, that to me was the sign that it was a good album. I think from the moment I started playing it, I probably played it all the way through about a good four times. I played it all the way through,
yeah.
Until I started like going to specific songs.
And started like dissecting it and finding my, I guess, my preferred ones. But it's been a very long time since I can say I listened to a whole album back to front the way the artist intended, played it, enjoyed it, and had no issues. Like, even, so who came close was Royce.
All
right. Royce's last album.
The Layers, right?
Yeah. And I forget, it was like two or three tracks that I was like, eh, I wasn't really sold on. But the album as a whole was good.
Yeah.
This J album, I'll play it back to back.
It's short, though. Right? I mean, yeah. So if I got to give it a knock, I'll say it's short. It's short.
Yeah. I wish he would have brought more to the table, but
I hear the physical one. I haven't been to get the physical copy. I hear there's some additional joints on the on the physical.
How long has Jay been gone?
A minute. But you know, that just shows
what was Magna Carta? That was like 3 years ago.
I just shows like who he is as an artist, because like the lead up for this was short. Like, it was like like 2 weeks out. It was like an album coming.
You know what else I
and
like?
And that shit just dropped.
This album compared to his other work. First of all, it's still Jay. You can tell it's Jay all day, but you can see the growth and the progression. Yeah, like you can, like I was sitting there, I'll play that shit, and I don't know. I think it was really good.
So, Thad the Millennial. Man, I got something to drink, man.
That's my title.
Thad the Millennial. Oh, you ain't gonna crush the crush?
Nah, I got this tea.
I'm gonna take this crush then. All right, so Thad the Millennial. Have you heard 444 at all?
I have not.
Yeah,
not
yet. I have not. All right. So we won't dissect the album too much.
I think you'll like it.
All right. But what I did want to talk about is I think one of the major themes on the album, which I kind of wish wasn't like the one that was getting the most push. I think he talked about some far more important things on the album. But I think what a lot of people are taking away from it the most is the whole, you know, idea. It's a response to Lemonade. He admits the infidelity, talks about relationships, talks about being a husband, talks about being a father, talks about the impact of some of his poor decisions on both of those situations.
But then it's like he admitted it, but then he didn't admit it. Because then it's like, also, like he said, why would I do this?
Nah, he admitted it.
I don't know. Trying to have my nigga back.
He admitted. I think having his back is taking this one. Like you know, understanding that.
But it is what it is, and I don't. They both weren't ready for the relationship.
I don't know. I got some videos I want to play, because he's put some additional videos on Tidal where you know, he does some interviews.
Yeah, I meant to download them. I haven't downloaded them yet.
Yeah, I mean, he really admits a lot of it. But what I want to talk to that the millennial is about is the millennial approach to this. Like, so what is the thought process of a 19-year-old right now in terms of dating, marriage, family? Are you looking to be a husband one day, father one day? Like, how does all that fit into the millennial mindset?
Yeah, well, see, mine might be a little biased because some would say I'm a traditional or old soul. So people, I've always been called by my mother, father, grandfather. I've always had an old soul, so I'm a little more traditional.
So what you're saying is your parents raised you with some values.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess you could say it that way. You know, you say you're an old soul. Oh, you know, you actually have values. Because first and foremost, if you're going to get into a relationship, even if you think that you might cheat, just end the relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, I hate how people, they cheat and then they go lie about it, or they'll keep it a secret, and it's almost as if they're never going to tell you until you, you know, confront them about it, or you find out from somebody else. And it's like, when were you ever going to tell me? And they're like, I was going to tell you. Yeah. But I'm like, if you're going to cheat, or if you want to cheat, just end the relationship. Don't put the person through that heartbreak, because I've been on the receiving end of that more times than I can count. And I grew up, not to put too much information out there, but I was in the middle of my whole parents' divorce. And yeah, it hits home hard for me because, you know, I was 5 years old when all that stuff happened. So whenever the topics of cheating or infidelity come up, I get really
frame of reference and what not to do. Yeah.
And I get really passionate about it, you know, because it's just, I hate seeing people go through that, that heartbreak. It's not fair. It's just unjust. And if you're going to do that, well, then just end the relationship, you know? Why? You can't have the best of both worlds, you know?
And I feel that from an idealistic perspective. You know, like, I think, you know, like you say, if you know you're going to do something like that, then maybe relationships aren't for you.
Right.
But I honestly think a lot of people that cheat, you know, you never intend to cheat. Like, it's not your intention. Like, you don't, you know, like, you can love somebody. You can really love them, you know? I struggle with this with Tammy. Like, when I make mistakes, trying to explain to her that when I was making a mistake, I was not sitting there thinking, what can I do today to hurt Tammy in the worst possible? I didn't wake up like,
this,
you know,
is,
what?
I'm laughing. I was about to make this point. I was about to say the same exact thing.
I wake up like, man, I haven't fucked up in a while. What can I do that's going to make her cry? Let me think. Let me think real hard. Oh, I got one. Now, that, I mean, you know, it just like, like the moment you end up in situations that you didn't plan on being in, and you know, I don't even want to say it's instincts. Your poor judgment just happens. The same way, you know, you can make a bad investment, or you can make a bad career choice, or you can make a, I don't know, bad any other decision. I think you can make bad decisions in relationships. I guess honesty is the thing.
Yeah,
but you know, Steve Harvey preaches the whole you lie. And you stick to the mother. If you're going to lie, you got to die with that mother. You got to die with that lie. Even if you get caught red-handed, you just got to, you got to shaggy that it wasn't me.
I mean, I'm on the fence too. So look, I don't condone cheating. I've been cheating on. I've also been the idiot and the asshole. So, but I agree with Flan. You know, it's not one of those things like you set out to do. You don't wake up one morning like, you know, God damn it, I'm going to find somebody and I'm going to cheat on my wife. Like, it's not what you do, but you subconsciously or unconsciously, you know, sometimes just don't pay attention, don't see the signs, and you could end up in a situation that's a bad situation and things happen. Me being older and not dumb and naive, I just happen to not let myself be put into situations.
Yeah, you start recognizing the signs, but like, yeah.
Oh, you peak game. Yeah. You peak game soon, early.
I've been in the setup before, and this feels exactly like that. Let me not go over here.
So you start preemptively doing shit. You know, it's like, oh, you know, your female coworker says, do you want to go do this? Oh, sure, let me call my wife. She come in too. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever you do, you're doing it as a group now. Yeah. You know, all the guys are coming together, all the wives are going together. You just put yourself in situations.
I found that with me now, like, if I meet a woman, like in our first conversation, I'm gonna put my wife in there somehow.
You don't know what she does for a living, how much I love her.
She's like, oh my God, you know, this morning for breakfast I had Fruit Loops. You know who loves Fruit Loops? Mm-hmm. My wife.
I do the same thing. It's a shield. You know, you have to put it out there. One, I want you to know because I'm not ashamed of who I'm with, and I want you to know that I love the person I'm with. Two. You know, it's a shield. Now that you know, you need to take this step back. Three, in case shit does go left and you're not paying attention to what the fuck I'm saying, when my wife comes up here to kill me but stabs you first and she says, did you know? You know you knew. Yeah, you know. I disclosed it. So, you know, I told you. I told this heifer she ain't in. She not listening to me. I told you. Yeah. So, it is what it is.
But what do you feel about, like, the dating landscape as a millennial? Like,
oh, my goodness.
The women that you have out there to choose from. Like,
yeah.
What are the prospects like? I'm glad I'm out the game is all I'm going to say.
I got a few thoughts on this. I want to see what Thaddeus is going to say.
Oh, I don't even want to say it's a great... Well, it can be a great area because one person has their perspective and what dating is should be categorized as. And I have my own perspective and thoughts on the whole thing of dating. But to me, dating is like, I prefer to court the girl, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm old school, more traditional. I'll take her to dinner. I'll buy her roses. Isn't that? I want to get to know her. I want to grow in love versus people fall in love at first sight. But sight is, you know, that's physical attraction. There's no emotional connection there.
Or substance.
Yeah. And it's just, I don't know. People today are more...
I feel like a lot of people are in love with the idea of love.
Yeah. Or some people, being in love. Or some people get love and lust confused.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of my friends have gotten love and lust confused, you know?
Even though you can't have one without the other, but you need to be able to differentiate.
Exactly. And when the lust is gone or that physical attraction is gone, they're done. And I'm like, that wasn't even meant to happen to begin with. Like, they should have just messed with each other versus getting into a relationship.
They should have just kept talking.
That whole talking.
Just kept talking.
And mess with.
Talking, yeah. Messing with is just, that's honestly like a friends with benefits type of thing. Mm-hmm. When you say, I'm messing with this person or I'm talking.
You got years, though. You got years to go, man. You got, I don't know. Like, I think we've all, I mean, I'm speaking for Rich a little bit. I think we've all had our friends with benefits stages. We've had our mess with stages. And some of them weren't necessary. Like, some of them were.
It is entirely necessary. To mess around, have friends with benefits. It is entirely necessary. I don't care how much somebody's going to listen to this show and say that we're giving you bad advice. It is entirely necessary.
Let me ask you this:
to get the bullshit out of your system.
Why?
Because you don't want to be that person who finally hits 27, 28, 29, and you met the love of your life, and you know you just have this perfect relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not going to happen in every single situation, but more often than not, you're going to have this perfect relationship, and it happens to a lot of people, and then the doubts start creeping in, or you might see somebody outside, and you never know what might have been, because you weren't with enough people. And I'm not saying you need to go hoe around, but I'm saying if you just don't experience life and don't know what life has to offer, and then you just blindly commit, you're always going to wonder, what if?
And I think you got to find that crazy. Like, so I'm going to say this, and ladies not going to like this. All women are crazy.
Oh, God, yes.
Every last one of them is crazy.
At least 15 to 20%.
But you got to find the crazy that you can deal with. Mm-hmm. And after you've experienced a certain amount of crazy, then, you know, it's like, I'm married now. And it might be a woman pop up, you know, and she be, you know, attractive and, you know, down for whatever. And I can look at her and be like, I know that crazy. And that crazy is fun for like 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then it ain't going to be fun no more. It ain't worth it.
So what you guys
these are things you learn through life.
So you guys was speaking off experiences, which is saying, okay.
Right, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
You see, we know at this
point. Tell some stories. Mm-hmm. I can tell some stories.
Yes. I got some stories too. And see, Renee doesn't listen to the show as much as Tammy listens to the show.
So Tammy know all my stories.
By I'm going to get Renee.
I think so.
Well, see, that's always been the thing with me because I'm a conservative guy. I'm saving myself before marriage. I've only had about maybe like 2 real girlfriends, or you'd even consider girlfriends. And that's about it, you know? Just like a...
I used to be a conservative guy. listen, I was conservative, and I used to be that guy. Don't do it. I'm not telling you to go, and it's not even just about sex.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, but having experiences, traveling, going out, meeting people, because unless you do all of those things, you're not going to know what Thaddeus the Millennial likes. You know what I mean? You're not going to fully know yourself. Until you experience something, you're not going to know. If you've never had steak, you're not going to know whether you like steak or not.
Right,
you have to put yourself out there to have these experiences, or you get into these relationships and, you know, you do stuff that they want to do, you do stuff that they like, and you want to please them. So it's like, oh, well, you know what? I like drawing too. And then you wake up one day and you're like... Fucking like drawing. Coloring and shit. I don't want to fucking color. Give me a paintbrush. God damn it. You know what I'm saying? So that's the main thing. Like I said, it's not about sex. And to Flan's point, you need to experience life and experience as much life as you can before you get to that point where you want to settle down. Because if you don't know who you are and what you want, how could you expect somebody else to give you what you want and make you happy when you don't know what makes you happy? You know,
this is true.
You're putting that person in a bad spot, And then the long run, that's going to be a hindrance on the relationship. That's going to be the burden that brings you down.
This is true.
Yeah. Nah, but yeah, I wish you the best of luck in in all your romantic pursuits. I don't know. Yeah. I feel like I was the same way. Like, I had this whole idea of, you know, the one woman and, mm-hmm. And if we're both virgins when we enter it and there's never any, you know, issues about, you know, you've been with who. And
that's always been my mindset.
And I held on to that for a long time, and, you know, and then I was watching my number. You know, I don't know if a lot of dudes do this, but I was watching my number.
I used to, and then it's like you get 22, 23, and you're like,
hey, Rich, hey, bro.
Hey.
The number. I'm talking about in age.
Hey, Wilt.
I'm talking about in age. You get to like 22, 23.
I was watching my number, and at one point, you know, that was like a personal, like, source of pride. Like, you know, I can count them on one hand. I'm on one hand. Mm-hmm. And that didn't work out.
But that's the thing, because
I lost that first hand, and then, you know, shit happened. And, but like I said, now when things happen, I feel like I know a little bit about every kind of woman out there, and you know, when they pop up.
So would you say at this point in your life, because of all of your indiscretions, because of all of the bullshit, the ups and downs, you're a better man for it, and you know you can steer the waters better. You know what to stay away from.
Yeah, like, you know, when I can look down the road and be like, crazy, 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 crazy. She's a thief. She'll stab me. Mm-hmm. You know, I can see it. I'm like, I like what I got. You know, I know what's out there, and I like what I got. I'm happy with what I got, and I would not risk. What I have.
It's not worth it.
For any of them. It's not worth it. I've been out there. Yeah. I know what's out there.
You see the same type of people, just different faces.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You start recognizing, I'm saying they all crazy.
And see, that's the other thing.
I can't say it enough. They all crazy.
Once you get to that point where you've lived and you've experienced and you know what it is that you want, it helps you to appreciate that person better, because then it's like, you know what? She checks all my boxes. Whereas if you got a blank sheet, you don't know. You're going to keep looking because you don't know what else you can get. Mm. Like, well, I got this. I might be able to get this.
You know, it was one of the, like, the big moments, like the big light bulb moments for me, in terms of Tammy, when she did something crazy. And I was like, man, here we go again with this bullshit. She's just trying to start a fight for no reason. And then, like, an hour later, she called me back. I was like, you know what? I'm sorry. Like, that came out of nowhere. That had nothing to do with you. I'm like, she crazy. But she knows she crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it, I found one. I got one.
I got one.
See, that's the thing, because they all say, as soon as you meet a woman, they always say, I'm telling you right now, I'm crazy.
Yeah.
But that's the default line. You know, this is a disclaimer. They really don't know. They just, they don't realize how crazy they actually are. Renee can admit it. She'll admit it. And we all know she's motherfucking crazy. But she's under my tolerance level. You know what I mean? You gotta find, that's the key. You gotta find somebody under your tolerance.
You gotta find the crazy that you can deal with. But they're all crazy. Mm-hmm. All right, here's a little game for you, because I heard you mention roses a couple times. Roses are nice, but roses is too common. You wanna really get a lady, find a way to find out what her favorite flower is. And if you find a girl whose favorite flower is roses, I'm gonna put that in my yellow flag, my yellow light category, because that means she probably hasn't,
I'm gonna say it.
Much.
I was just about to say it. I'm gonna say it. She's a basic bitch. I'm gonna say it, because when you meet a woman and the first, if that's the first thing, there's nothing wrong with a rose. But if off bat, that's it. There's no frame of reference. Mm-hmm. It's because she hasn't seen much, and this is what they do on TV, and this is what her friends do. So therefore. Yeah. I want a rose.
Well, see, I was limited because it was Valentine's Day. They were selling roses in the cafeteria.
No, and see, I don't want to say it's nothing wrong with that, but on her side, you know? Because then also a lot of women, and see, I'm one of those guys. A lot of people also don't know different roses and colors mean different things.
Oh, we got a guess. Another guess. Hey, sweetie Petey. You can give me night-night kisses?
See, look at that. We all up in here natural, and Jared got a haircut.
I love you. All right. Night night, sweet pea.
She's smiling.
Say night night, uncle.
Let's go night night, nigga.
It smells so good.
She's like, I know.
Good night. You ain't gonna give me a hug earlier. It's okay. I'm a hug you now. Good night.
And we're back.
So, like I was saying, so like different color flowers, different color roses, yeah, meet different things. So like on a first date, for instance, if I did buy you a rose, I wouldn't get you a red rose because that's passion, that's love, that's lust. Yeah. I don't know you. I don't know you like that. I would give you a white rose, which represents purity, friendship, the fact that I actually want to get to know you. Red, yellow roses symbolize friendship and stuff like that. Strong bonds. So I would do something like that. Even pink roses, they're soft. You know, they represent intimacy and things like that.
Okay.
But red rose, like, oh, you trying to get the drawers the first night? Okay. You know, so yeah. You, to his point, you get to know who the person is, and hopefully they know who they are, and you know they can help you to get to know them better. But that also comes with experiences, because if you don't experience life, you don't know what you like and what you want out of it, and then you're just both in a loop being basic bitches with each other.
Yeah. And before I forget, I wanted to touch down on the whole having sex before marriage thing, the virginity. And I've always been raised to keep myself before marriage, and thus far I've been successful. And my whole thing is, I don't want to be with a girl who's already been with somebody else or multiple guys, because I'm thinking in her mind, while we're doing it, she's probably comparing me to this dude or that dude. And I never wanted that.
All right, see, so vice versa. Here's the scenario, guy. Lay it off. Cause this, I had these same like thoughts.
Mm-hmm. I'm genuinely curious. Like,
but let's say, you know, you find this girl, you meet this girl, and she's awesome. She's everything you had in your head that was, you know, what you wanted. And then you find out
She's been with,
you know. Like, you know, you gotta. And I feel like when you put it out there like that, like, I want this because, like, that's when life throws you the shit that
they
you...
throws you
like,
a curveball.
I used to always say, a girl cheat on me, I couldn't be with her no more. And then I ended up in a situation where I got cheated on and had to make that call. And it was like, you know, like this is my test. Like, am I going to throw something away because somebody made a mistake? Am I going to want them to not throw me away when I make a mistake, you know? So, yeah, I mean, you put that stuff out there. I'm just, I hope it works out for you exactly the way you want it to work out for you.
See, here's the thing. Me too. Here's the thing. Life is not like that. You're going to find somebody who might check every box but that. But see, here's the thing. When you make your list of the things you want, you then have to evaluate this list and figure out, what are my non-negotiables? You know what I mean? What can I absolutely not compromise on? If I were personally in your situation, I don't think that the woman I'm dating not being a virgin would be a non-negotiable thing for me. You having a good head on your shoulders, you having a job in or going to school, having dreams and aspirations, having to genuinely want to get to know me, being a good-hearted person, educated. It's so many other boxes for me at this point, and even back then, that were being non-negotiables. Even if I was going to be in a frame of mind where I feel like, you know, I don't want us to have sex, I want us to wait, I don't feel like that would be the one, especially in 2017.
I'm just saying, at 19, I can see where he's coming from. Yeah. I was probably the same exact.
That's what I'm saying. But
at 19,
mm-hmm.
at 35, with everything that I've gone through, mm-hmm. everything that experience. Like, yeah, like that is,
and
like
that's
so
think,
not important to
and
me.
That's
anyway.
Why I think it's
like
hard. That is, and it's that's why gone. So yeah. That's why I think it's hard, and that's why I'm glad we're having this conversation, because, you know, I was that idealistic, but thinking back, you think back to how many doors you closed and how many experiences you could have missed out. You could find the person who you are meant to marry tomorrow, but because she didn't check that one box, you say no, and then everybody else just does not live up to that expectation or that what she put out there. You know what I mean? So it's, yeah, you have to keep an open mind, and you have to be willing to compromise to a certain extent. Never compromise yourself and who you are. But you know, you have to be clear on what's a full on, just non-negotiable. And This is 2017.
Like I said, I keep saying I want everything to work out for you exactly the way you have it in your head. I'm just saying, be prepared for the curves because they they coming. And I'm gonna say this. The number one box for me, and we discussed this on the show before. Like at 35, what I want out of a relationship, and what I think most men end up realizing that they want more than anything, is peace. If you can find a woman who is your source of peace, I think all the other shit that comes with her, you can deal
with. That's a keeper.
If she got seven kids and fuck every dude you know, but when you come home and you know she is, you feel at home and you feel peaceful, and she don't cause you no stress, and she's your way to de-stress.
And it's so funny.
That means so much more than anything else.
What's hilarious is that it's actually hard to find that. Like, if I get pissed at work and some dumb shit happens right now, and it's like, all right, you know what? I can think back to a conversation that Renee and I had, or I can see her voice, or hear her voice in my head, see her face, and like, you know what? It could be so much worse.
Yeah. I could be having a nightmare or having one of my depressed nights where my mind is replaying all the embarrassing shit I ever done in my life, and I just reach over.
And she's there.
She's there. All right, everything's good. We could.
So you gotta be able to get to that point. You have a long ways to go to get to that point. If anything we say can help you sort of springboard and you know, avoid some of our pitfalls. Like I said, I was idealistic, and you just close the door on so much shit, and you don't realize it.
Men cheat. All right, so this is coming full circle. I think men cheat because they are in search of peace. They can't find peace at home, so they leave out of there. And then Patrice O'Neal said it best. He said, "He's like, ladies, don't get mad because cheating is for you. Cheating is when a man sneaks out of his own house to go find some peace behind your back because he doesn't want to hurt your feelings." Like that is cheating. That is cheating. Mm-hmm. But if you got to realize if where you at is not peaceful, then
you gotta go
find that. Right. That's, I'm telling you, that's what's gonna be more attractive to you than anything else.
And it's,
as you get older, it's just finding someone,
it's the relaxation,
who you can relax.
The fact that I can go home after a long day. Listen, you wanna watch some Netflix? Put on some Hulu. We don't gotta go nowhere. Let's just order in. We
don't even have to be under pressure to have sex with you. I don't have to perform.
I'm 33. God damn it.
My knees hurt. I'm tired. I can't even do all that. I just want to chill. I just want to relax. I want to watch a movie. I want to listen to some music. I want to laugh, you know, and not.
And you can actually be yourself and stop trying to pretend or impress somebody.
I want to take the mask off.
Yeah.
I don't want to be Jared the system administrator or Jared the podcast host or CEO of. I don't want to be none of those things. I want to be.
Just Jared.
Yeah. I want somebody that I can do that with, and that's it. Like that's
yeah.
Like, we spent a lot of time on this topic. Let's talk about some hoes. Where the bitches at?
Chicken wings.
All right. So, Rich, you got your work cut out with you on with the editing because this shit is all over the place.
I'm be editing anyway, so I mean, fuck it. And I get my new headphones in tomorrow.
That's what's up.
By 8 p.m. So.
All right, so we talked about this before, but Amber Rose was on Drink Champs. Drink Champs, one of my favorite podcasts, one of the podcasts that made me want to do a podcast. And I listened to the Amber Rose interview, and she went into detail about what the slut walk was. And so we've talked about the slut walk previously, and I've been real hard on the slut walk because I don't
pause.
I don't think I understood what the slut walk was. really was. And so I listened to it today, and she had me for me. Like, she had, like, I was listening to it, and she was talking about how it's about, you know, empowerment and, you know, the whole idea. She compared it to how, like, black people have taken the N-word. Black people have taken nigga and, like, turned it into our thing, and you can't hurt us with it no more, but you can. You still can. But I think that's sometimes the premise we use to try to justify it. And she's like, the whole slut walk thing was just like, you know, if you were a chick and like just taking it so that people couldn't use it to hurt you. Like, somebody can't call you a slut when you really not being a slut. That's just their way of like making you feel bad about whatever it is that you're doing. Like if you can own whatever it is you're doing, say, yeah, I am a slut, and take it away from you, like that.
Yeah, but they're going too far. I saw another one, and she's like, you know, if you want to be promiscuous, be promiscuous. Right, you right. own that. If you're owning the fact that you're fucking everybody walking up and down the block, you know, then they can't take that away from you. You take the power back from that word.
And that so, was the cutoff point for me.
Yeah, so you know what I mean? So
I don't know. My thing is what I've always said. Like, if that's you and that's what you want to do and you want to promote it and you want to put
that's
it out there for people
thing
to know,
and has nothing to do with me.
That's cool. That's cool. Go ahead. If you want to be a hoe, be a hoe. That's cool. But understand, I'm going to call you a hoe. And I'm going to say it in a derogatory fashion because you can't do what you want to do and then tell me how I have to feel about it. And then tell me I can't say nothing about it. Tell me I got to look at you in a positive light when I don't. You can't do that. You can do whatever you want to do and you justify it in doing it. But then when you do whatever you want to do, when you put it out there for people to see, you got to be ready to take that backlash. Like, if you're going to own it, then you got to own it. Sometimes owning it means dealing with the negative that comes along with it. There's stuff I say on the show that I got to own. I can't just say it and then go back to work and be like, nah, y'all can't say nothing to me about what I said. Like, nah, I said it. Now I got to deal with the repercussions. So, yeah, that's you. If you want to be a slut or you want to do the slut walk or whatever it is, if it's positive, then great. Maybe you won't get no repercussions. But if you're doing something that's going to be seen as negative in some people's eyes,
it's a real reach.
You got to be prepared to deal with the negativity that comes along with it.
And this is another thing that she was saying, how if a guy has sex with a girl or how many ever girls, and he gets props on it, he gets pat on the back. Like,
no, he doesn't.
Yeah, well, she was saying something along those
lines. See, that's so old school because I'm 33. Even when I was in high school and I knew a dude who was like sleeping with everybody walking, damn, you a hoe. You don't care about your dick. Like, that shit gonna fall off. I wasn't giving him props. Oh, you smashed somebody else. No, dudes are hoes too. Like, yeah. it is what it is. But, I've worked with people in my adult life.
Here's my thing about that. Like, if I see somebody, like, all right, cops is killing black kids in the street and getting away with it. I see somebody doing something that I think is wrong. Is my way of justify my way of balancing that out saying, so now I should be able to kill. It's okay. Y'all keep killing us as long as I can kill y'all. Like, no, if exactly. you're wrong, I don't want to be wrong with you. I want to tell you that you're wrong.
But this is what I got from what she was saying. She was basically saying how men don't get ridiculed as much as women for being promiscuous.
And I don't think that's true.
Me either. Well, she was saying how if girls like to go around giving oral sex to dudes, then maybe she just enjoys giving oral sex to dudes. She shouldn't be ridiculed for doing it. Maybe she just enjoys it. That's what I heard.
And if that's what you enjoy, young lady, then by all means.
That's what I'm saying.
Enjoy yourself, but understand.
But at the same time.
that's terrible.
I will say that Stacey's a dick-sucking motherfucker. I'm not going to say it.
It's going to happen.
If Peter's out here fucking blowing everybody, yo, you carpet-munching bastard. Get the fuck away from my juice. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's equal opportunity.
You can't show up somewhere as Eddie the Ass Eater and think you're going to drink out of my glasses.
Exactly.
You get the plastic cup.
From day one, listen, don't believe shit that nigga said. Damn.
But this is my rant, though. Like, where is the discipline in that? She is not even convincing girls to just indulge in their desires.
It's a fake cause, and this goes back to something that Jared and I have said on many, many, many an episode. It is no longer okay to shame anyone. It's shameful. Yeah. It's shameful to shame.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, if you was an ass, none of your boys would have been like, you know, I ate her ass yesterday. I ate Tiffany's ass last week. Everything is okay.
Yeah.
Nothing is taboo. Everything is fucking okay. And you're just supposed to be fine with it. And you can't say anything about it. And I think that it's wrong. I think it's wrong.
It almost reminds me of the whole discipline issue with disciplining your children.
You can't.
Nowadays, it's child abuse.
You can't.
I guess my parents got child abuse, and my parents love my parents, and back in the day,
You can do, if we're going to live in this society where you can do whatever you want to, that should include me having whatever I feel like saying to say about whatever it is you choose to do. Like, if you want to do what you want to do, I'm not in the business of controlling people. I can't control you. I can't stop you. But you shouldn't feel like...
You can't
like,
control me, too.
You shouldn't feel like there's no consequences to your actions.
I just see a distinct lack of moral values in today's society. Oh, yeah. Right is wrong, and wrong is right. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like...
there's no consequences.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
there you can't punish people for nothing. You can't... Even if the punishment is something as stupid as you having to listen to my mouth, who am I? Why do you care that I feel a certain way about it? If you love eating ass, then eat the ass. Don't be mad that you can't drink out of my glasses.
and that's the thing. There's no shaming. You can't wag your finger. You can't say anything. You're not allowed to have an opinion overtly on all of the bullshit that people do. Yet they're being overtly opinionated and forcing, you know, their agenda onto you. So where do you draw the line at? If you're going to push, I should be able to push back.
Exactly. And that just reminds me that the LGBT community, they literally try to shove this down our throats. Oh,
should we warn them? Should we? this is a millennial, y'all. This is a millennial. All right, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is there rules against this?
No, there's no rules on this show. Okay.
Not on this show. I'm sorry.
But it's just...
it's crazy.
Yeah, it's... from my past experiences for lesbian or gay or whatever that I've met, and they'll... come on to me, and I just tell them I don't agree with that lifestyle. I'm not like that, and I just that should be the end of it. But when they continue to advance and are persistent, that's when I have a problem. No means no. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that's my only issue there. I don't go out and do hate crimes against people like that. I don't see them as different than me or anybody else walking down the street. I just have a problem when somebody tries to force their beliefs or whatever onto me. That's where my issues lie.
You notice how easily something can be a hate crime? Yeah. So just like your perfect example, if you're at the club and this guy is consistently trying to push up on you, he gets very aggressive with you, a gay guy, and you sit and you push him off of you, and a cop says, "What happened?" And you says, and you say, "This gay guy grabbed me." That is now a hate crime because you prefaced it with gay and you assaulted him. You know what I mean? But it's so easy how we just brush these lines away.
Yeah.
See, I'm going to use my words kind of person. if I'm going to get in trouble, it's going to be because something I say. I ain't going to touch you. I ain't going to put my hands on you. I'm going to be the whistleblower. I'm going to be the one I'm being assaulted. I'm gonna have me a rape whistle. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna get me a rape whistle, and if you motherfucking touch me, I'm blowing the whistle. Everybody going to jail.
Because I said no.
I said no.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say I'm gonna have a shirt to say I said no. Like, so it's clear. Like, you don't even have to. We don't have to be no mis. You know, you didn't misconstrue nothing. You did not hear me when I said it. It was on my motherfucking shirt. I said no before you walked over here. You walked over here, and you touch my glass.
Do you know that he's a very very petty person?
I am the most petty.
Bro. I want you to know that I'm gonna pre-pause this. this petty has rubbed off on me so much. I do the most pettiest shit all day, every day. We were on the motherfucking highway, and this person didn't signal and came over and motherfucking cut me off. You know what I did? I went to the motherfucking middle lane. And then cut him off. And then a half a mile later, because he was behind me, he had to get off the exit. You know what the fuck I did? When he moved over, moved over in front of him. When he tried to get off the exit, he moved over. I moved over again. I blocked that shit. He had to keep going to the next exit. You know what I did? Moved over again.
So you weren't even going where he was going.
No. As long as we still going straight, mother. If you move, I move. You on this highway. You shouldn't have cut me the fuck off.
If these the new rules, you can't touch nobody. I don't want to. I'm not a physical person. I don't want to hurt anybody. I just want the freedom to say how I feel. Mm-hmm. As long as I can say how I feel, then I'm good. I'll let you say how you feel. Like, if you don't like what I have to say, you don't like me, you're free to say it. Now, you can't say it and think that I'm going to be happy about it. If you say something, I might say something back. We just get into it back and forth. But, you know,
and freedom of speech is just being blown out the window.
Oh,
like,
shit. Yeah.
Just, you're not even
That's a whole three episodes. That takes me back to motherfucking, what's his name? Milo Yiannopoulos.
I'm telling you, he represents what we are building toward. If we are literally going toward this be, say, do world where you can be, say, and do anything that you want to do, that is what you're going to end up with.
I don't know. I don't know if you've heard of this guy. Look this guy up. It's, you know, who is he suing right now? I can't remember if he's suing like CBS or Breitbart. He comes out free. He spewed all of that shit talking about he wants to be able to freely rape boys and it's okay or whatever.
In the world.
Then he releases a book talking about all of this shit. Then the publishers don't want to publish the book and they don't want him on the TV show advertising the books. So now he's suing them for not letting him on their show and shit to say, I want to rape boys. Like, the fuck?
No, that's why I have my own show. So I can say what I want to say on my. I can't force you to let me on your show to say what I want to say. It's you can't stop me from talking. And it's I pay for this mixer, nigga. You can't tell me what I. It's my microphone.
2017.
All right. We're going to pause this right here, and we'll see you next episode. Be the light. Peace.